Let us turn again to the Word of God in the Gospel according to Matthew. And Matthew chapter 6. And read at verse 12. We can read from verse 9 the whole of the Lord's Prayer. From verse 9. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. And we can read these words as well in verses 14 and 15. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And so on. With the Lord's help, we would like to consider verse 12, the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The fifth petition shows us our need of forgiveness. And, as you know, it comes after the prayer for our daily bread. Not because bread is more important than forgiveness. That is not why the prayer for forgiveness comes after the prayer for our daily bread. No, not at all. But we may see a connection between the two petitions in the following way. If we expect God to give us a right to the good things of this life, so that we pray, give us this day our daily bread, because we have a right to it as God's people, well, it must be in a way of forgiveness, through the Lord Jesus Christ taking away our sin. We cannot expect these mercies in the way of a right and title to them apart from the Lord Jesus Christ putting away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. And again, we cannot take comfort in these temporal mercies while our consciences are burdened with a sense of the guilt of sin. So when we pray for our temporal needs, we should also be praying for forgiveness at the same time, so that we might enjoy these mercies as forgiven sinners. Again, just as we pray for our daily bread, we must pray for daily forgiveness. We're in constant need of the good things of this life, and we're in constant need of forgiveness. We are sinning daily, and we need daily pardon. Because sin is a debt, and our debts need to be forgiven. And we are further shown the duty of forgiving others. The Lord teaches us to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So if we don't forgive those who have wronged us, how can we expect God to forgive us the wrongs that we have done to him? That is what we are being taught in this petition. But on the other hand, if we are enabled to forgive others, we are encouraged to expect forgiveness from God. As the Shorter Catechism puts it, in this petition we are praying that God, for Christ's sake, would freely pardon all our sins, which we are the rather encouraged to ask, because by his grace we are enabled from the heart to forgive others. And with the Lord's help, we will notice three things as we consider this part of God's Word, the fifth petition, noticing first of all the daily debts. Sin is a debt that we need forgiven. Our debts are daily incurred, and we need daily forgiveness. The daily debts. And secondly, the prayer for pardon. Forgive us our debts. The prayer for pardon. And thirdly, the forgiveness of others. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We are to be forgiving. We are to be forgiving others who have wronged us. So we begin with the Lord's help to consider the daily debts. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. A debt is something that is owed to another. It is that which is due to be paid. And sin is a debt. And how is that? Because by sin we rob God of his honor. We are taking from God what is his. It is the honor of obedience that is due to God, and we have not given that to him. We have failed to give this, and by failing to obey God, we have denied to him the honor of obedience that is due to him. And so we are indebted to God. Because we have robbed God the honor due to him, we are in debt to him. Our sin has robbed God and is therefore a debt to God. Have you and I been convinced of our sin against God, that we are indebted to God? We owe God a debt. We owe God a debt that is due to the justice of God. And have we become aware of that? Are we aware of the requirements of God's law? That indeed, first of all, we owe God a debt of obedience. All of us owe obedience to God. Obedience is due to God. But when we don't obey God, we have incurred a penalty, and therefore we owe the further debt of the penalty. We have taken from God, we have robbed God, and therefore we owe God. And have we seen this, that to God is due a debt that must be paid? There must be, as Thomas Boston puts it, reparation. We need to repair the dishonor that has been done to God. There must be a restoring to God what we have taken from him. And how can this debt be paid? Are we able to pay this debt? Can we go back in time and obey to replace the disobedience? Can we replace that disobedience by obedience? That's impossible. Nothing can erase the facts. Nothing can take away the fact that we have disobeyed God. We have robbed God of the honor that is due to him. So are we able to make up for it by good works? The answer is no. Our good works are not equal to the task, not equal to the debt that is due to God. In fact, by our sins daily, we are incurring more debt. And so we need forgiveness for our daily debts. How can we possibly pay our debt ourselves? We can only personally pay the debt ourselves by suffering God's wrath forever and ever and ever. That's the only way to pay the debt ourselves. And therefore, since it will require an eternity of suffering, it means that the debt will never, ever fully be paid. The Larger Catechism says that in this petition we are acknowledging that we and all others are guilty both of original and actual sin, and thereby become debtors to the justice of God, and that neither we nor any other creature can make the least satisfaction for that debt. Oh, do we see this grave reality, the debt that we owe to God for our disobedience, our sins, our transgressions, the dishonor that we have done to God, that we owe to God, that the honor that we have robbed him of, and therefore we are indebted to God. Do we see that this is what sin deserves, the eternal punishment, to pay for our sins in hellfire forever? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? We need to beware of sin. Those who go on in sin, lightly dishonoring God, careless about their sins, well, realize, friend, you are incurring a debt that can never fully be paid. And going on like that, you will suffer in hell forever. There's only one other alternative, and that is our debts being forgiven. And that is by Christ paying our debts for us, so that we are praying, forgive us our debts for Christ's sake. Well, let us consider, secondly, the prayer for pardon. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The Lord Jesus is teaching us to pray for daily pardon. We pray for our daily bread. We are to pray every day, forgive us our debts. Every time we pray for our daily needs, we should be praying for that God would forgive our debts, our sins. But first of all, there is the pardon of all our sin in the grace of justification. We're to pray for daily pardon, but first of all, there is the pardon of all our sin in justification. What is pardon? Pardon is the removal of guilt. And what is guilt? Guilt is liability to punishment. So we are praying for pardon, that our guilt, our liability to punishment, would be removed, that God would take away our sin. He would remove our guilt. He would remove our liability to punishment. So that is pardon. But on what basis does God pardon the sinner? If we are guilty, do we not deserve to be punished? And since God is a holy and just God, how can it be just and right for God to remove our guilt so that we're not punished? Well, the answer is, as you know, God pardons sins on the basis of Christ's suffering for sin. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered the punishment that sin deserves. And so through Christ, God can both be just and merciful in the pardon of sin. So those who are forgiven because Christ suffered the punishment for them. In other words, Christ paid the debts for believers. By sin, we have robbed God of his honor and glory, so we are debtors to God. We owe him that honor which can only be restored by eternal punishment if we were to do it ourselves. The justice of God demands, pay me that thou owest. It is that what is owed to God is a debt of suffering and death, suffering eternal death forever. We owed God our very souls to be given up to him in to suffer his wrath forever. But Christ came and offered up himself in our room instead. He offered up his soul to be poured out unto death to satisfy divine justice. So what was demanded by justice, Christ gave. Christ paid. He rendered to justice what was due. And that was punishment, suffering the punishment. And so what the Lord Jesus did was he restored what he took not away, as we read in Psalm 69. Then I restored what I took not away. Christ restored it. He gave back to God the honor that was due to him, to magnify the law and make it honorable, to satisfy the justice of God and show to the world that God is a just God even when he pardons sinners. So it is on that basis that we can have our debts forgiven for Christ's sake. That's what we're praying. When we pray for forgiveness, every time we pray for forgiveness, it's for Christ's sake. It's because of what he has done to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He manifested the glory of God's perfections by his suffering. And so David prays in Psalm 25, for thy name's sake, for the glory of God's name that was magnified by the sufferings of Christ to come, which would be so in David's time, and in our time we look back to the sufferings of Christ, it has already been accomplished. But for thy name's sake, O Lord, thy glory revealed in Christ and his sacrifice, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. Pardon mine iniquity. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The word forgive has the idea of letting go, so that our sins are not held against us, but they are let go. Our debts are not demanded of us. They are let go. They are remitted. They are not required. Why? Because Christ paid them for them himself. So, as someone has put it, it's not so much that our debts are canceled, they are liquidated. Our debts are liquidated. The debt is settled by payment. The blood of Christ has paid the price and put away our debts. Again, Hebrews chapter 9, he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That is for every believer. Those who don't believe in Christ, well, their sins will not be forgiven. But for every believer, God imputes the righteousness of Christ to him or her so that the person is forgiven. Justification is an act of God's free grace wherein he pardoneth all our sins and accepteth us as righteous in his sight only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone, so that he that believeth in Christ is forgiven. But now a question arises. If the sin of God's people is pardoned in justification, why do they daily pray for forgiveness? Forgiveness of their sins afterwards, even after they're justified and they're not condemned. Why are they praying for forgiveness? Well, the short answer is because they are still sinning. They are still sinning and God is still forgiving their sin. Now, believers can never come under condemnation. He that believeth is not condemned. And yet we find that believers are often praying. The believers in the Bible, we find their examples of prayer, and they're including petitions for forgiveness, praying for forgiveness. They're often praying for pardon, even though they are saved, even though they are justified. So they are not under God's wrath and curse because they are justified already. Then why are they praying for forgiveness? Because they may fall under God's fatherly displeasure. Even as David, we read that God was displeased with him, that what David did was evil in the sight of God. So David needed to pray for forgiveness, that God would turn away his displeasure from David. And so that is what believers pray for, that God would remove the guilt of God's fatherly displeasure. Remember, pardon is the removal of guilt. Guilt is liability to punishment. Of course, believers are never under the eternal wrath of God. No. But they may be under God's fatherly displeasure and liable to chastisements. It's revealing indeed God's love. He cares for his children, he's correcting them, but it's also because he's displeased with them. That's the reason they're being chastised, because they have done that which incurs his displeasure. Just as a parent has to discipline the child, and very often the parent is displeased with the child's behavior. That's why the child is being disciplined. But it doesn't mean that the parent doesn't love the child. The child is receiving discipline because the parent loves the child. So God loves his people. When they do wrong, he is displeased with that behavior. Therefore, they must be chastised and corrected. And so, friends, we are learning that it is no light thing, no light matter to be under the fatherly displeasure of God. It's fatherly, but it's also displeasure. In fact, it's even called fatherly wrath. And David says, "Rebuke me not in thy hot displeasure, thy wrath. In thy wrath rebuke me not." And he's a child of God praying this way. So, we sang about the chastisements in Psalm 89 and verse 30. If his children, the children of Christ, forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. They will be chastised and corrected. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. God loves his son, and he loves his people everlastingly in his son, and nothing will deprive God's people from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus their Lord. And yet, here on earth, because of their sins, and if they go on with impenitence and not confessing and forsaking their sins, they will experience the displeasure of God. And so they are praying, "Forgive us our debts. We have dishonored God by our disobedience, and we pray that God's fatherly displeasure would be removed, and that he would restore to us the light of his countenance. And so, as the Confession of Faith puts it, by their sins they fall under God's fatherly displeasure and not have the light of his countenance restored unto them until they humble themselves, confess their sins, beg pardon, and renew their faith and repentance. So believers are to be praying, forgive us our debts, praying that God would deal with them on the basis of the sacrifice of Christ, that the merits of Christ's obedience and death would be applied to them daily. Forgive us our debts. We've denied God the honor that is due to him. That honor must be restored, and on the basis of Christ's sacrifice, that honor is restored. And for Christ's sake, forgive us our debts because of what he has done to the honor and glory of God, satisfying divine justice by his own death on the cross. So we have noticed what we might say two aspects of pardon. And that is, first of all, the pardon in justification, when the believer receives a pardon full and free. The sin of the believer is not imputed, and the believer will never be condemned judicially, will never be under the eternal wrath of God. But there's also the pardon of the guilt of God's fatherly displeasure. And that is what we pray for. Forgive us our debts, daily pardon, that God would deal with us graciously on the basis of the sacrifice of Christ. But there is also what is called declarative pardon, where even though the believer is pardoned, because every believer is pardoned and justified, accepted and forgiven, yet the believer may not have a sense of that pardon. Like the woman who was weeping at the feet of Jesus, she was forgiven already. That was evident by her love. But it was through the word of Christ to her directly that she had a sense of pardon. And she went away in peace and joy. So the pardon of our sins is declared to us when God gives us a sense of it through his word and spirit, and it's accompanied with comfort to our souls. And there's also the final acquittal that will take place at the last day of judgment, when believers will be openly acknowledged and acquitted in the day of judgment. That is their justification being declared to them and before the whole world. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So friends, we are to pray for pardon, but not only pardon, the assurance of it, that we may know and feel in our souls that we are forgiven. As the larger catechism puts it, we're praying that God would continue his favor and grace to us and pardon our daily failings and fill us with peace and joy in giving us daily more and more assurance of forgiveness. And we know that our sins are forgiven how? When not only he gives us peace and comfort, but the grace to turn from our sins, to turn from sin to righteousness. We know that believers are not perfect in this life, but they have a full purpose of and endeavor after new obedience. But there's one other way to know that our sins are forgiven. We know that our sins are pardoned when we are enabled to forgive others. In the third place, the forgiveness of others. As the Lord teaches us to pray, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Well, our debtors are those who have wronged us. We may say that they have dishonored us, as we have wronged God and dishonored him. But of course, in one sense, there's no comparison what we owe to God and what others owe to us. And yet, the Lord Jesus teaches us to pray as we forgive our debtors. We don't deserve to be honored, but when others wrong us, they have dishonored us, they are indebted to us, and they may owe us an apology. They may owe us reparation, or is their duty at times to make restitution and repair the damage. Well, perhaps they won't apologize. Perhaps they won't repair the damage. Well, that's their responsibility. But as far as we are concerned, we are to be forgiving. We are to always cherish a forgiving spirit. We are to love our enemies, no matter what they do to us. They may never ask us to forgive them, but we are still to be loving them and be ready to do good to them. And on the other hand, we are to formally forgive those who come to us with their apology and expression of sorrow for their offending us. So what the Lord Jesus is teaching us here is that when we are enabled from the heart to forgive others, it encourages us to ask from God the forgiveness of our sins. Now, forgiving others, does that earn forgiveness from God? No, of course not. But forgiving others is evidence that God has forgiven us. In fact, it is evidence of the new nature. And that means that they are forgiven. Those who have a new heart, they have been pardoned all their sins in justification. But forgiving others also encourages us to ask forgiveness, because we know that God forgives those who forgive others. That is what the Lord Jesus teaches us. Think of this as well, that an unforgiving spirit unfits us for prayer. How can we pray aright while we are holding a grudge against others? But more than that, an unforgiving spirit disqualifies us from receiving forgiveness. Jesus teaches us plainly in verse 14, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." How plain it is. It could not be plainer what the Lord Jesus is teaching us. It truly dishonors God when we expect God to do for us what we will not do for others. But as one has put it, the divine procedure will be exactly for us what our own is, what ours is to others. God will deal with us as we deal with others. So which teaches us to maintain and cherish a forgiving spirit. We can't expect God to forgive us when we are unwilling to forgive others. And that goes for all the Lord's people. Even though they are already justified, they're not under God's eternal wrath. But by not forgiving others, we keep ourselves under God's fatherly displeasure. And no wonder we don't enjoy the light of his countenance when we are harboring a grudge against others. But if we cherish a forgiving spirit, if we have been given grace to forgive others, we have the evidence that God is our God and we are his children, and that gives us boldness and strength before the Lord. If we forgive our debtors, we have integrity of heart. We are sincere before the Lord. We can look up to him with confidence, knowing that when we confess our sins and seek forgiveness through Christ, he will forgive our sins. Again, forgiving others is the evidence that we are God's people. And if God has forgiven us all our sins and justification, well, he will forgive our daily sins too. As Boston puts it, Thomas Boston says, "We may firmly believe that our feet shall be washed, where our whole body has been washed before." So if God has pardoned the guilt of eternal wrath, he will also forgive the guilt of his fatherly displeasure. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. How we need to look to Christ for that grace to love one another, to forgive one another. And let us indeed be praying for others, because the Lord is teaching us to pray, "Forgive us." Not forgive me, but forgive us. It's plural, forgiving others as well. So as Jesus prayed for others, that God would forgive them. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And Stephen prayed the same way. We're to pray that God would not only forgive us, but forgive others They have wronged us, it may be. Well, pray that God would forgive them too. And never forget that forgiving others is the evidence of being forgiven. There was once a strong soldier who everybody was afraid of him. And whenever this very big and strong soldier got into a fight, he would always win, so nobody wanted to fight him. But then he was converted. And by the grace of God, he believed and he repented. Well, someone wanted to find out if he was truly changed. Was he truly converted? So at dinner time, he picked up a hot bowl of soup and threw it at the man. And everyone watched and wondered, would this big, strong soldier, would he attack the man who did this to him? But no, he calmly washed the soup off from him. That was the grace of God in him. He did not fight back. He did not quarrel. He was meek. He had a forgiving spirit. That was the evidence he was forgiven. Well, let us pray for that saving change, every one of us, that we would have the evidence of it. And if you haven't had the evidence of it, pray for it. Pray for a new heart. Pray that God would put love in your heart. He would bring you to Christ. He would forgive your sins, and that you would have the evidence of it by forgiving others. Yes, if you are looking to Jesus and seeking God's glory, well, that will be seen in a forgiving spirit, so that you can pray sincerely and with confidence in the Lord, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. Gracious God, teach us to pray, that we would pray these petitions that the Lord Jesus puts in our mouths, not only for our daily bread, but for the daily forgiveness of our debts, and that we would go to Thee through Christ, trusting in the Mediator, to put away our sin, to pardon us, to remove our guilt by the sacrifice of Himself, on this foundation that Christ was crucified, that the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all, so that everyone who believes in Jesus will be forgiven, for Thy promise is proclaimed to us, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. O Lord, forgive our debts, remit them, put them away, may they be cancelled, and that by Christ paying them in His own blood at Calvary. And be gracious to each and every one in every particular need, and knowing, Lord, that Thou knowest all that we need even before we ask Thee, so that we are encouraged to bring all our petitions to Thee, all the petitions that we have considered so far, that Thou, Lord, wouldst hasten the coming of Thy kingdom, that Thy will would be done in earth as it is in heaven, that Thou wouldst give us day by day our daily bread, and that Thou wouldst forgive our debts as we pray by grace we would forgive our debtors. Strengthen us, Lord, then, to persevere in prayer and to pray sincerely by Thy Spirit working in us, that we would truly desire these things which are plainly agreeable to Thy will. Hear us, Lord, forgive our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We will conclude singing to God's praise from Psalm 25. Psalm 25, the second version of the psalm. From verse 8, "The Lord is good and gracious, He upright is also. He therefore sinners will instruct in ways that they should go. The meek and lowly He will guide in judgment just alway. To meek and poor afflicted ones He'll clearly teach His way. The whole paths of the Lord our God are truth and mercy sure, to such as keep His covenant and testimonies pure. Now for Thine own name's sake, O Lord, I humbly Thee entreat to pardon mine iniquity, for it is very great." Now we will sing from verse 8 to verse 11, Psalm 25. The Lord is good and gracious. He upright is also.